And so in Grant Hill, we borrowed the new chef today, this is Chef Rob. And so he's preparing everything, putting the final touches on some of the other stuff. So, but we'll just get started in regards to today and what we found out. So thank you guys again for coming to Veterans Week. We're starting this speaker series with the heart to educate our clients just about different topics and just to really get people in our space to engage with them. So you guys were handpicked to attend the first one. It's really soft launch, so we're learning things as we go. So we take notes. And also just learning how to best utilize your space. But yeah, so basically we're going to talk a little bit about the food and the branding that goes into that. So today's topic is branding. But then Dan and Ashley and I'll come into are going to give kind of a pretty open-ended discussion presentation around branding. So you guys are going to get as much part of this as you're willing to put in, but we wanted to start with just introducing yourselves, if you're able to hear that, just your name, maybe your role, and what you represent. I know everyone's like trying to finish your mics now, but I'll start. I'm Paige. If you didn't receive an email from me, you probably the title after. I will send out an invite to do a survey, but I'm the marketing staff this year. Pretty new to this site, but loving it thus far.
Hi, I'm Aga. I'm part of American Resort and the new, and I'm the photographer. So nice to meet you.
Stand up too. Adam Kowalski. We own Del Resort, which encompasses American Resort, the Sea Houses, the River End, which has the view inside of there, and then also Hot Lots. And then we'll have the guests.
I'm David Helsky, I'm sorry. So, everything
I'm
set.
I'm Maria
Raffle
from
Thompson's Poland.
Hi, I'm Sarah Draper. I'm the
Behind
the High Rock Cafe downtown, and I have shared it with photography where you got
it. Hi, I'm Ben. I'm from the Wilderness. I do all things digital for them. Sonora, Poki, stuff like that.
It was actually a long process that started when we tried to redevelop Padlet,
So originally this company for 4 years was called Adlet. It was short for advertising literature. And we were trying to break out of that role of what everyone thought Adlet was, because it was so defining. And we would try to update the logo or update our tagline, update our Facebook group, but we really never could break through in people's minds that we were more than brokers, distributors. So when Lydell came along, he did a lot of internal reflection on what we were trying to do and why we were having that disconnect from the customer. And we found that that name is holding us back. So we spent probably 3 months coming up with names and developing things. And through that process, we really learned that we love that process. We love building brands and creating things that people can relate to. The reason we went through a ton of names. And just to explain Vector and Ace to you guys, I wanted something that showed that we do more than one thing. So I knew it instantly that I wanted an and in the logo. I sound crazy, but that's what I was thinking. And then we kind of settled on Vector, which Vector is a computer graphic, and it's built by points, and you can infinitely scale that and maintain the quality. Perfect for what we wanted to do, because all companies want to grow, but we don't want to lose the quality in the end. And then we went with Ink to kind of reflect on what built our company and how we got to where we are today, and through the traditional printing, you know, with ink and paper. And that still represents our brochures and travel guides and all of that. So it was an interesting process, and it was really eye-opening on how it would go through all the stages. And we had spreadsheets, and I think we had 186 different paths that it took to kind of change that. And as we were going through it, we learned that it wasn't as easy as just changing your name and putting a new sign on the front of your building. That people need to relate to whatever that name or that image is. So we really dug in, and you know, we had to do everything, and it started with the space. Many of you walked through the original space, and you can kind of see the transition to where we want to be, and it's working that way now, towards the front. But we wanted a space that would attract great talent, retain great talent, and then most of all, when we had customers like you come in, you could see that we were, you know, really lived our brand and lived our mission statement, which is actually on the wall, so no one forgets. We inspire people to go places. When we work on a site for Kara or the Kara, we're inspiring people to go eat there, or working with these houses on the view. That's our job, is to really inspire guests to visit your business. So, and that's, we love it. We actually just absolutely love helping you do that. And it's become more than just marketing in that respect.
Until we started the process, you don't realize how much your brand really correlates over everything. So to have your cohesive brand go from your hashtag, your social, or your Facebook to actually the sign out front, using similar colors and really telling that story, because that's what the people are falling in love with. They want them to love your brand and be loyal. So to tell that story, and that's something through our process, we really took a look at, like, what is the mission statement? What is the vision? How do we get our employees to believe it so that the customer and consumer then feels the same way? So that was kind of an eye-opening when we came starting, like, how many little things are touched throughout the whole process.
That was really a big turning point, was when Vidal would ask every employee, what are we trying to do here every day? I think you have 38 people who asked, you have 38 different answers. I don't know how to look at it all.
Yeah, so Adlet has been around for how long?
40 to 70 years, I think, at that point.
So pretty entrenched in the way things used to be. And we were actually at the same time going through the game when we began becoming, you know, the owner of the business. I was there 2 years ago. And so I went in with fresh eyes. I wanted to get a fresh perspective. So I would ask the creative director, why do you come to work every day? I'd ask the developer, why do you come to work every day? And I'd hear answers like, because I develop websites, or because I go on press. What I wasn't hearing was a cohesive story about what our consumers think we are. We talk about our product. We just start putting stickers all over the wall. And then we sorted through all that stuff and came down to some things that we do really well and did a lot of work. In the end, we started coming up with words and at the time that we could stop. I can't remember dozens and dozens of them. And then we just came, we zeroed in on those three or four names, and then we did logo exploration and branding exploration for all of that before we went any further. We looked at colors, we looked at imagery, and it just kept getting narrow and narrow until we got the best one. And then even after we chose the name, we took a lot of different.
So that kind of brings up an interesting point. So we were narrowing names down, and then our staff here, that's what we do, is develop logos and graphic design knowledge. We also said that, but we were AdMet was so ingrained in our head that we couldn't even get away from it, no matter what we did. We actually hired another company to come up with choices because we couldn't stop thinking AdMet. And we did end up doing our own logo at the end, but that helped us kind of free and open our minds to figure different things that couldn't be.
Yeah. But then it went way beyond the logo. Then it was like actually the same. How do we answer the phone? How do we talk to each other? And how do we interact with the community? And all those things. And we got to, we're still working through it. Year and a half old, maybe, 2 years old. I don't know how far you want to go.
Well, I just think, you know, and as a community, you're probably thinking, you know, why did you do it? What? Yeah. The thing was, it almost instantly worked. We launched it, and our launch was for the Governor's Conference on Tourism. And the 3 prior years, I had tried everything with our trade show group to try to get new interest in our company. And we could actually see it. People would walk towards our booth, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I already know about brochures. And they'd walk away. And we launched Tractor and Eggs right before we launched it at the Governor's Conference. And the reception was instant. Oh, we didn't know you did this. Oh, wow. So it was just a really, really interesting process. And I think we learned so much and learned that we love doing it. But it's been the last 2 years have not been like work. It's been every day we come to work. It's like so exciting. And a lot of them here, the reason why it's so exciting, we've been able to work in Marriott, Bogo, Adam and the Kelsey family have been huge in trusting us to help redevelop Hot Rocks and the View, the Grateful Chef project. That was a really interesting project as far as branding. That was really a key project because branding should start at the beginning before you break ground or before you do anything. We can redevelop later if we have to. With that one, we were able to work with the owners and ask them, what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to attract? And then by able to build that brand before we ever talk to a contractor or a vendor or a menu provider or a food provider, we knew what we were trying to accomplish. And that creates what everyone's looking for in this day and age, and what's called an immersive environment. So when you go to a restaurant, you want to be entertained from the time you park your car until the time you leave. And you do that through branding and cohesive vision.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, starting the project for the shed, we had to sit down with everyone involved and get that story out of them. Because that's what your brand is doing, is telling the story. So for Mary and Dee, it was, why do you want to eat at their restaurant? Like, what does this story say? And so with the millennial age group coming up, that's huge. They want to connect with you for a reason. So Bella Booth has a specific story tied to behind their brand. People connect with that on a personal level, maybe it's something to do with their career. But really telling that story and getting that out of, like, who we're working with is our main goal. Because that's the content. You're pushing that content through your brand. So it all connects and they really loyalty is what you want to get out of it. So you write that story. And that's followed by every employee, that's your mission, and that's your goal every day, is to get the next consumer who sees that color, that logo, that icon, your icon, knows automatically, like, yep, I trust them, that's who I believe
in. I know what they believe in, mm-hmm. I know what they stand for, and that's why I want to be part of what they're trying to sell.
And that's the beauty of being here in the belt, is that, like, the brand is a constant reset. So the branding that worked 50 years ago, or the structure of how people serve their food, or even how clients or engagement
I'm the next generation of a family business, and I need to work with the ebb and flow of the tide. And so I think that's a really cool part about branding, is that it keeps going, and all your decisions, again, reflect back from that brand that you're trying to keep intact. So I love that about the Dell, because I find every time I come back, there's someone doing something new. And the thing about this place, so if you guys can't voluntarily do here, but I see just a higher standard being set. And so I think with actually understanding what branding can do for a business, that also makes you stick out amongst, I mean, people can go eat at any restaurant, they can get any campground, they can choose to buy their products anywhere, but why is your business the place that they should set foot in? Or maybe they don't set foot in, maybe we live in a digital age, maybe that's where the first part of your brand that they encounter is a website or a social media presence. So it goes in so many different avenues that it's really awesome to see like how specifically each of you and
Do you think the Dell Tech School is a little bit harder than a lot of other communities in terms of branding and innovation? Because you did make a good point, but I think essentially as a community, we have to work harder than a lot of them.
I think so when you compare it to like Madison. I mean, there's a change and there's little suburbs that pop up everywhere with different restaurants, but you have more, I don't know, an area to choose from, or here, or in a condensed area. But if we don't take freshness in tourism industry, there's no reason to come back. So if they've seen the Dells the same way for 20 years, they have that mentality like to do the traditional trip. But what's going to get them to want to come back?
Well, I'd like to answer your question. I think we have to work harder because we have to make up for the time that wasn't spent keeping up with it.
Okay.
So that's why I look around and I'm glad that I don't see a lot of the older generation here, because in the Dell, when I'm 44 years old, born and raised, always had family in the tourism industry. When the Helland family, for instance, built Pirate's Cove, they built it, they opened it, and it's made money for, since I can remember, 35 years. Set it and forget it. Well, those days are over. You can't build a restaurant, open it up, never change the menu, never change anything, and it's just going to work forever. Well, it's now on Delaware. But you know what I'm saying? We've got to keep evolving. And really, this summer was an eye-opening experience for me. Growing up here, I started working when I was 11 in family restaurant. You didn't know on a Wednesday if it was Wednesday or Saturday in July. July was just packed. The strip was packed. You couldn't turn right. You could, I mean, all the things. And now it's killing me when I can drive from Lake Belton to downtown and never hitting a traffic jam. We would go to Madison on the weekend and it's packed on there. The restaurants are packed. And I started looking around. They're doing a better job. You know, there's more to see down there, and we're asking those people to leave their communities, leave Madison or Milwaukee, to come here on vacation, and we're not offering them something different or better than they can have at home, and that's the reason they're less likely to come, in my opinion. So I think that, yes, we have to work harder to get back to where we used to be. I also enjoy reading about the history of the Dells, and I just recently came across an article that was written about Jack and Kirk Waterman when they were building Noah's Ark. So that was like the 77, 78 range. And they were actually crushing on Disney at that point, where he was quoted in a national newspaper saying, the things that we're building in the Dells are far and above anything they're building now. But we know now that that's kind of flip-flop. And that's why the Dells was so successful at the beginning, because it was something they couldn't get anywhere else. So I think, to answer your question, yeah, we have a lot of stepping up.
And I think this group specifically strives to do that. So, like, when I think of High Rock, how they have the forever changing menu of chef favorites or seasonal or the carnivorous tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even like the summer house and your restaurant. So, it's everyone doing their part to really bring something new.
So, the page is fine, which says that you guys are planning to. admire the things that you're doing that are new and innovative, and we want that to continue, and we feel like if we can get together, discuss options or bounce ideas off each other, that we can keep going, because there's a growing but small group of us, of that next generation, that really wants itself to be what it used to be. And it's going to take us going together and having those back to propel it. I know Adam, you guys just got that on the trip with the bid committee, which I think is awesome. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things happening. And basically, I think we just wanted everyone to know that we're here to support or to help or to anything we can do. Because our company is uniquely positioned in this town that we want everyone to succeed. There's no way that I could want Mount Olympus to succeed more than Wilderness Resort, because you're both my customers, or the Dells Army Ducks versus the original Ducks. We care about everyone in this town, even if they're not customers, because we know the greater good of getting people to town is what's going to make our, all of us successful. I'm excited over the last year or two of things that everyone's doing. They're small, and really, Justin and Wade, when they did hire us, that was a real eye-opener for me. Wow. This was an influence, and it has been. I don't know if they know how much they've inspired other people to be better or to try new things. So.
And it would be really easy for us to, if people look outside the Dells, to kind of be like, oh, we're going to, if they're making the Dells, people are the ones who want to grow, but that's the thing that they're talking about too, is to be out here. And we're in a unique position, and we have experience in it. And so this is by having the sales pitch. Say, like, you guys, here you are. We believe in what you're doing. There's way more that we can do for you than just the website. But also, that we kind of want to honor you guys that you're doing such awesome things, and you are so uniquely positioned in your niches. So, I don't know, I would love to actually hear from some of you in regards to like branding that's like worked or not worked. Where you've been thinking, tried, and what you need to develop on the website. Yeah.
One thing I thought of that I think. The guys change up all the time, but we have never discounted anything ever. And Justin and Wade are like, we're putting out a good product for a fair price, and we have to run a business that we can make money. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating, and I can see the changes you guys have done in the past year to try to get away from the Dell's discount mentality. We have to change it. And when you give a 20% discount or 25% discount, anyone that's a restaurant owner, you guys know that's your problem. You know, so I think that if every business together can try to get that discount mentality out of their heads, it's going to help everybody.
Like push the value of coming to the Dells and eating and experiencing everything, that it doesn't have to be discount central anymore.
But we also have a fair amount of restaurants that need to get better quality that don't need a discount. You know what I mean? That is a hard part for us with all the different companies that we have. Everyone's really position where they may or may not be. I admire that you guys want that. I truly do. But the only reason you can keep doing it is because you never did it.
Exactly.
So once you do it, then it's really hard to get that.
Yeah.
But to Mary's point about how hard we have to work, the way the town, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer of this group, but when you drive down the strip and all the things that have been torn down or missing or not lit up at night, as a whole, we have to offer a room for people to come, and discounting has been the answer, and it's not a long-term solution.
Yeah.
It's a short-term solution for more places closing and more places for now.
I do want to go off of that discounting, because I just came back from Gatlinburg and talking with their city and just other business owners there. They very minimal discounting. Still do it when you got to, but in some places, but it's not even about the point of getting the customers through a discount, getting the customers here first.
Yeah.
That's what we all do. And that's what David does.
Sure.
He went from a 3-month season to 11-month season. We were there during a week, just last week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Buffer to buffer. That's the same stuff we got here.
Mm-hmm.
Same stuff.
Wait,
sure, and I just want to let me finish that one part of the caliber because you know it, I think, inspired me and I think the group. I went, Justin was there and a bunch of others. And, you know, we're trying to, we being on the bid for the downtown Dallas, you know, the bid is a business improvement district committee. And yes, we use the monies that are the percentage coming off your, we're added on to your property, which pay the bid. And we're responsible for basically improving the business in our area. And so we, my first, got on there and with a couple of the other members, we were like, what are we doing here? We don't get paid for this, other than whatever we have in our, I guess, our experience, our knowledge on how to make the Dells better, okay? Our business better. So, I mean, Maria could test to it. I don't want to knock flowers, but I mean, that was consistent. You know, we talked about flowers a lot, the pots, the, you know, every once in a while, lights come up, but nothing was really done about it. And we're talking about lights downtown for Christmas. And so we're just sitting there going, I mean, we've got our hands tied mostly because it's the budget. We didn't have really money to do much because there wasn't much. And so these last, I'd say, couple months, we've been really focusing on, okay, so how do we change this? How do we, you know, reverse the tide to where more can be done to help all of us? Because really, I mean, we're paying something. None of us want to pay to, I would say, a committee or the city or whoever, or marketing firm, and you're not getting anything out of it. There's no return. So we've been many, many discussions, and it's almost like we don't even want to do anything else until we know for sure what we want to do and what direction, kind of a rebranding,
right?
And that's what needs to be done, and that's what kind of we've taken those steps to. We had Kevin Ricks, which I don't know if you're all familiar with, but he owns the Ripley's and the Wizard Quest. He also has a company called Concept Attractions. And he came up with a plan to rebrand downtown Dallas. I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but it's available on the website for downtown Dallas, through the Visitor Bureau too. But that outlines a rebranding of downtown Dallas where it was the River Arts District kind of idea or brand. And I don't know if you all were familiar with that or what happened, but when that first came out, me personally, personally, I didn't really believe in that. I wasn't inspired by that because I didn't believe that's what the Dells is. It's not an artsy, I guess, district. You know, we are. Okay, we're eclectic. We make people happy, and not that art doesn't. Okay, but that's not us. And so we kind of talk about it, and we're like, okay, so what do we, I guess, feel, and what fits with Wisconsin Dells? And, you know, it's nature what brought everybody here, the river, the rock formation.
Same with Gatlinburg, by the way. I didn't know there was something mountains there. So I was there a couple of
years. Yeah, that is the draw. I mean, Patrick Forge, Gatlinburg, and Sevierville all market Smoky Mountains, bring people there. And then everybody, and this is another day I just found out where they just had a big marketing meeting there, and they had, you know, the whole research done for their customers in there. And one thing that was on top of mind for that area is the city Gatlinburg. Remember somebody said they're going to Smoky Mountains, they said they're going to Gatlinburg. Similar to here, where I'm not saying they're coming to Lake Dalton or any other, they're saying they're coming to Wisconsin Dells. So get back to my story here real quick. So downtown Dallas basically went to a natural kind of intertwining art and what made the Dells Dells, and making it fun, interesting, and tying in some of the history and everything else. So that's kind of, that plan encompasses like land art, sculptures of, let's say, you know, the Native American, the Ho-Chunk thing, but you know, we got so many things that we don't even know where even to start, but at least we have a concept, an idea, a direction, where I think that'll bring out the character of Wisconsin Dells and who we are, what brought people here in the first place. Because we still have to go off of that, because
everybody remembers the Indian ceremony, but it's kind of final, right? Other than when they do I can't remember the name, you know, I can never pronounce it right, but they do have the Indian ceremony available. So we need to, you know, grow off of that and heal ourselves from that in order to make that happen. And again, go back to the coupons. If we do that, we don't have to even worry about coupons. Because right now we're worrying about coupons because there's not enough people here. So we're just trying to pull from somebody else. That's what we're doing. We all get out of the mentality, well, let's see, what coupon, what discount do I need to do in order to get more people into my door so they don't go into the neighbors? Well, they don't even think like that. What they think about is how do we take care of the people that are here, and right, their biggest problem right now, just like ours, is employment. And they have no housing for kids, which they're building. Now I hear that Holtz is telling they're helping them build housing. Because they're trying to model what we do on the end of, you know, employment. So, I mean, we both have are very similar communities, and there's a lot to learn from them because same thing, like they are. Gatlinburg is the name. Mm-hmm. Their city actually does about half of what Pigeon Forge does, gross-wise, and as a community. And but yet they're the name, but then they still work together, still separate communities. We work together, and I don't know if they'll ever work, but it's a very, it was very interesting eye-opening, and hopefully we can take from what we went down there to do and implement it as quickly as possible here. So that, you know, we could not talk about coupons because it could be irrelevant. And that's kind of what I got from that.
But I
do
think that, back to what you were saying, we have all the resources, but I also think there's an adult market we need to capitalize on. Such a, I mean, restaurants and wineries and shells on tap and the wine tour, it's such a niche market that I just think that we, and I loved the guy that you did, sunglasses, yellow, perfect. It like set apart, hey, this is summer, we have so many things, just not just kids things and family oriented. It's just such a market that I think we have yet to capitalize on, but we need to come back. So like what you were saying, how we have all of that. You know, we, so.
Yeah, now we have more
problems. We're more going forward.
Right.
Well, on a community, right, we need to start again from the top down. We got the hotels, the restaurants, the housing, everything. It's just that we have to kind of reprogram people to get them excited again to come back to the Thousand Dells. Why did we love it so much as a kid? Let's go back there again, hopefully our kids and their kids, that there's no other place. We do have a lot more.
So some of the things you hit on with you know, the Indian ceremony and all of our history here, we have such a great story to tell, but we don't package it up as that. Okay? And we're not telling people why the Dells is different. But all they already know we have water folks. They know that. So we have to start telling that story differently and try to attract different clientele and different demographics. So it's a challenge, but I think that it's exciting that there's people like Adam and Justin and those guys going out and checking out these places and bringing back new fresh ideas. For Adam, I think one of the takeaways from our conversation we came earlier talking about the trip is just that, hey, can you have my back and let's kind of start banding together as a next generation and try to move and push and change opinions of the older generation to refresh the challenge.
And that's, you know, going off of that, talking with their village or city commissioners, four commissioners and a city manager, Ron Gallagher. And one of their, I guess their takeaway points was, you know, they asked us, well, why, what's your number one tourism thing? But what's your number one industry? Okay? And of course, tourism. Well, how do you run your community? Is it based? Is every decision that you make based on tourism? We're looking at each other like, okay, from the cities, everything. You know, make visitor bureau, obviously, yes. You know, our businesses, for the most part, yes. But it's, does our whole community make every decision based on tourism? And we said, no, well, that's your first. And when everybody is on the same page, that everything we do revolves around tourism, no matter what, and every decision we make should be based on that, then we'll be successful just like they do. Every ounce of energy that we take or we use goes into that. So, at least that's what we get. If all of us here on this committee are business owners or involved heavily in the tourism industry, we all know it, we all breathe it, and these are our part-time jobs, basically, because our full-time jobs are working in the industry, and city manager is a certified city manager that has, you know, education in running a basically a city business. And that's what they do, and that's important. We're all running around in opposite directions, and we need help from the city or wherever. And they're like, well, can't do it. Well, that's what you guys need us to make this happen. People like us, especially.
Well, no,
but it's all of us. It's not just me. I can't. That's, look at Dan. Hey, look at, he stepped up. He realized that. That's why we're here. I mean, do we ever have meetings like this in the past about, look, he's not selling anything right now. He just wanted us all to get together and just be on the same page. You know? And that's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, it's not about anything else.
It's about helping each other and supporting each other going forward. We're in it together. I mean, it goes back to the root of our problem right now. We don't have Delta. We have an identity with anything except water parks. And every community in the United States has a water park. It's not different. How do you position your brand to be different or something that people want? You have to figure all of
this out. I have a question. This is probably a really easy question. The Water Park Capital of the World Visitor Bureau, they have the money to have the taxes that's going to them. Are you guys going to try to work with them at all? I mean, I don't even know if that's a possibility, but like.
Sure. I'm on the board.
Yeah.
First of all, our money.
Okay.
Okay. The Visitor Bureau, yes. They are a nonprofit organization, and we all contribute money to it, especially through our own tax dollars. That's the other mentality that we have to all break.
Yeah.
We're all in it together.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's been down there, right? In fact, the Visitor Bureau, the conventions, the cities, we all are work together. Right now, you're right. There's a division. The Visitor Bureau does not work well with the city.
Yeah.
They don't even know what's going on.
How does that change?
Well, that changes people. That's a valid concern, because that's a big stumbling block for a lot of us, because we want to do things, but it's just not happening, it just gets stopped.
Yeah.
And
so, but to your point, that did concern me, and I don't, and it's nothing against water parks, any of you own part of that, but we're so much more than that, and people already know that we do that. So that's why we did a lot of research with that yellow book that came out last year with the sunglasses. We did focus groups. A lot of you guys came in and talked about it. Did surveys with all of our people who sign up for Delta, who put it on our website. And we've tried to change what we have.
Yeah.
So I guess that's something I'm really proud of too, is that we're pushing to try to make the Delta every day a little bit better. And I feel like it started when I was going through the buyout of this company, got a little bad at the end. And the reason that got bad at the end is because I was trying to push to change. And when you have an owner that's owned it, or workers that have worked there for 40 years, or the owner that was here for 47, when you try to change too much, that it scares them. And for me, change is fuel. Change is what keeps me going. I love it. I just can't get enough of it. And that didn't. So while I was kind of in time out, about the divorce, luckily Adam and his family were trying to redevelop Krabby. So I kind of hit out for a few months and just helped Adam as a friend and be there till 2 a.m. or whatever. And that's when I got that taste, and they trusted me. And I was like, wow. And that's where I got the taste for telling them, take that down, put this up, do this. You gotta worry about the tech
to worry about your parking lot, your sign. We did that, and it was great fun. And then we got back on track here, and then Jason Field and Adam Seymour came to us and said, wow, we like what you did at Hot Rocks. Can you help us develop this truck park? That was a great project. That got over. Now we're working on a huge project for Lowlands. So it, for us, it's just like, sometimes we have to pinch ourselves, but we're getting to do this awesome, fun stuff. But every time I do it, or we do it, we kind of sneak in our own agenda. So we took Krabby's from Krabby's, which I created, by the way. I told you every day for like 4 years, and I wanted to be better. And we did that. And then with the truck yard, that was the thing right away I told them, which you can't control as long as after you leave the property and build it. But I didn't want it to be another showboat. I didn't want it to be a mix or anything else. It had to have a unique identity and try something different off those people's kitchen. So we consciously, even with the vendors, we wanted a quality food that was a premium price, just to start to elevate the game. And that, I feel, worked. And then now, with the project that we're working on in the Wilderness, it's going to be a game changer for them. So I think it's good for the community, but we are also pushing our own agenda that we want to be more proud of the place that we live and work. Paige said it, yeah. It is easier sometimes to go out of town and start something else. You know, you see it. All the great things that are built in this town, and then you have Todd Nelson, who loves the community still, but it's easier to go to another community and do more, where we never had that before. You had Todd fighting Nick or Mount Olympus, or for me, when I was young, it was Family Land versus Noah's Ark, and every year they fight, which made everything better. Well, the fight kind of left. And that's what we're all dealing with now. If you don't have that competition or that
innovation
going, because God left, you know, and is on to different things. Wilderness is in Tennessee, Grey Wolf expanded out. So, in a way, it's up to us to make it better and control our destiny.
You know, Tara, back to your water park capital of the world, the Bureau did a nice job of branding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very much so.
It really worked well, and they spent a lot of money doing it. But it's, in my mind, it's a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken that changed to KFC.
Yeah.
And Dunkin' Donuts that changed to Dunkin', because you don't like fried food. Mm-hmm. So it's, at least, you don't tell people. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the water park got a little warm is right now. It's like fried chicken.
Yeah.
You know, it's like time to maybe think.
It could be just as simple as something as, we are the innovators for the water park. Something. Well, I don't know. I'm just throwing it off.
But it also might be more complicated. So I've done a lot of research on branding, and one of the things that fascinates me the most is the story of Starbucks. And I don't know if you guys are all familiar with that, but in, what was it, 92 or 93, Starbucks had like 300 locations, and they were at the top of the game for coffee. But inside, they looked like a McDonald's, and they couldn't get people in there from 9 o'clock until, you know, in the middle of the day. And even though they were on top of the game, they knew that was a problem. So they brought in all these people, and they said, you know, how can we get people in here midday and up our profit? So the one guy, you know, I can do a new logo. And the other guy's like, we can do a new marketing campaign, and we can build a new website and all these things. But what they were doing is all going in different directions, not kind of talking about the brand as a whole. And one guy kind of came up with a thing and said, we should change our strategy. So it went from, you know, Starbucks coffee to Starbucks, the place people meet. And they changed everything. So then the logo, everything that they did changed the focus of what they were doing to what you see today, where it's a place where people can go and hang out, work, you know, catch up with an old friend, all of those things. They changed their whole philosophy, and it actually grew their company huge. And by the byproduct, by coffee, did it. So it takes big thinking, and that's what I always